Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Life of Jesus. Jesus used supernatural power to further his earthly ministry. He healed as many lepers as possible and commanded the disciples to do the same. When a Roman centurion approached Jesus about healing his servant, Jesus granted the request and scolded the Jews for their unbelief. When Jesus visited the house of Peter and found his mother-in-law sick in bed, he healed her at once. The people in Capernaum brought every sick and demon-possessed person to Jesus, and he ministered to every person until they were all healed and set free. This message is entitled, Compassion for Humanity. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be preaching today on the life of Jesus, part 13. Compassion for humanity. I want you to see Jesus today. Maybe you never have seen him like that before. And I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 1. Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mountain. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. I want you to see in your mind, go back in time, Jesus coming down from this mountain, walking down, his disciples around him, and multitude of people around him, a throng. Jesus marching in here to go into the city, and his disciples follow him. And he's excited because he has laid out the doctrine of the church. He's excited because he has power as the Son of God. He's excited because he has compassion on the people. And he meets a leper. Let me read this to you from the outline here. As Jesus was walking away from the mountain, a leper approached him, breaking the law of God, which stated leper must live away from the population. A leper also had to cry aloud, unclean, unclean, in order to warn those nearby to keep their distance. And if you keep your finger there in Matthew, but you're going to go to Leviticus, I'm going to give you that reference there, Leviticus chapter 13. We're going to pick it up in verse number 44. He's a leprous man. He's unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. At the society that we have on Jesus, quarantine was the only thing that God had told Moses to do with a leper. If somebody got leprosy, it was incurable at that time. Today you can cure leprosy. The cost of curing a leper today is $15 in the drugs. $15, you can cure a leper today. But they did not have that available at that time. So when somebody became a leper, it was a strike against you. You were forced out. And if you came into the population, you were killed. You were executed. If a leper did not stay out, if he didn't cry, unclean, unclean, if he didn't do what was described with the clothes, he'd be killed. So they lived a terrible life. This particular leper, now we're back in Matthew chapter 8, he had heard about Jesus. He simply felt this. My life is ruined. This leprosy eventually killed me. I can never go back to my house again, to my family, to my wife or children. I'm done. And then he heard about Jesus. And he made a decision. I don't care about the law. I'm going to see Jesus. And behold, there came a leper. He must have popped out because people would have pushed him aside, threw rocks at him. He just popped out, fell down, worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He had one chance. He jumped and he took it. What did Jesus do? Jesus but then looked upon him, realized the situation. Jesus put forth his hand. I said, no, no. You don't touch a leper because it transferred. Leprosy transferred by touch. Jesus simply put his hand right on the leper and said, I will be your clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In a second, he was no longer a leper. His flesh restored, his skin restored, totally, absolutely restored in a split second. Jesus unto him, see that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest. He had to do that to get his, be cleared of his disease. Offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. Jesus didn't want to draw too much attention to himself. He still had about 3 years to go in ministry. But this leper, he talked. If you get healed, you want to talk. He believed in the miracle. He got the miracle. I want you now to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. If you pick it up here in verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now Jews were not supposed to go into Samaria, but Jesus did. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. When people were driven out the lepers, they would build their own colonies, band together, get some food together, so on, and lived in colonies. And these 10 men stood afar off. Again, they knew that they were gone. They would eventually die. They would have nothing to live for. They could never come back to their families again. But they heard about Jesus. They were standing afar off now. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Far off, crying to Jesus. Can you see Jesus stop, turn around? He see 10 broken men, lives ruined, children, wives, family, could never go back to them. In those days, part of the face had fallen off, fingertips had fallen off, because leprosy kills the nerves. So you don't have any feeling. That's why they hurt themselves so much. He looked at them. And when he saw them, Jesus, the Son of God, must have simply felt, I have the power to heal them. They don't have to suffer. Notice now that the first leper worshipped Jesus. They recognized Jesus as master, but they were not saved at this point. Jesus looked on with compassion. Was told himself within, I healed them. He must have said, crying out, go, show yourself to the priest. Why? Because if you have leprosy, to be pronounced whole, clean, you had to be certified by the priest. Now, I want you to see the mindset now of these 10 men. Jesus hollered at them and simply said, go and show yourself to the priest. And they looked down, you know. Show us that to the priest, we still got leprosy. But it's one thing they had. They had faith. They recognized this. There's no cure. If Jesus said it, it will be so. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went in faith, the power of God came down upon them, and they were instantly cleansed and made whole. Probably many of you have not seen too many miracles. And I want to share, I've shared this miracle with you before, and I want to share it with you again, because it changed my life at that time. I was at a Full Gospel Businessman meeting back in the 70s. Listening to a black preacher to the crowd. And when he finished, he said, I'm not going to pray for the sick. And I was a skeptical Southern Baptist seminary student. And I wanted to see more. I moved up to the front seat. This man was the first one up in a wheelchair. Cerebral palsy. And he was, like they do, they're shaking like this. I looked upon his neck, nothing. Legs, I mean the arms, skin and bones. Later, we're told for 20 years he's been like that. No muscles. They rolled him up. When he was about 10 feet from that black preacher held out his hands and said, in the name of Jesus. And the power hit that guy. He flew out of the wheelchair, stood to his feet, and suddenly his arms begin to grow. His legs, like if you take a rubber balloon and blow it up. And he screamed, take the braces off. And he ran up and ripped up all the braces. His neck, being that small, turned out to be this big. I saw it. I was about 10 feet away from it. In less than 20 seconds, that man went from being a cripple to being a complete whole man. You know, if you haven't used your muscles for a long time, you got to go to rehab. You got to learn to walk again. He went to a rehab that was took less than 2 seconds. And when they got the things off from him, he started running. And then he got back, put his wife in a wheelchair. He started pushing her around the stage. He was running. I seen it. When God wants to do something, he can. Instantly. It's done. The problem is our faith. So they were healed. And one of them, when he saw they were healed, one of the 10, he looked down and says, man, my hands are whole. I don't have any scars. He must have looked up his shirt. I'm healed. He got excited. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down his face at the feet of Jesus, give him thanks. And this leper was not a Jew. He was a Samaritan, which the Jews despised. The Samaritans were the leftover of the 10 northern tribes They were mixed in with Gentiles, not accepted by the Jews. The others simply said, well, praise God. I don't need Jesus anymore. I'm healed. A lot of people come to church. A lot of people want to have deliverance. A lot of people want to be healed. They want the stuff, but they don't want Jesus. This man wanted Jesus. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found, have returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. What made him whole? The faith in Jesus. Faith in God. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8 right now. Matthew chapter 10. And I want to read verses 7 and 8. And as you go, Jesus told them, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. Notice now that Jesus added in here, cleanse the lepers. Leprosy was a curse, incurable. Jesus didn't put in other diseases, but he emphasized any time the apostles, the 70 others, saw a leper, cleanse him, heal him. Jesus had compassion. In Luke 9, we read the following. Luke 9. Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, I want you to do a little bit of thinking here with me this morning. Jesus came primarily to pay for the sins of the human race. That's why he came. He could have simply gone straight to the cross. He could have provoked the Jewish leadership earlier. They tried to catch him earlier. He could have been crucified much earlier. Get it over with. Get people saved. But Jesus also wanted to minister to the needs of the people. You see, all the gifts given to the apostles were for here. When we get to heaven, we don't need the gift of healing. Don't make us sick. We don't need a gift of discernment because there's no sin up there. We don't need any other miracle powers in heaven. We need them here and now. Because this is where people are sick. This is where there is a need. Let me go back now to Matthew chapter 8 as we can look on here. So I want you to see this. Jesus said, this is my mission to pay for the sins. But in the meantime, I got the masses here. And I want to be compassionate. I want to minister to them. I want to meet their needs. God is a loving God. And God wants to meet our needs. Now we destroy ourselves eating the wrong kind of food, doing things we shouldn't do, taxing our bodies, and we get worn down. Jesus has compassion even on that. But he's not going to heal you if you continually destroy yourself. Let's talk about the... I want to go back up here to Hebrews 13:8. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we know that Jesus has not changed. Matthew chapter 28, I want to read those verses. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said to his apostles, whatever I taught you, whatever you did, teach it to your disciples, their disciples, continue on from generation to generation, and I will be with you always. The same marching orders 2,000 years ago are still good for today. As a pastor, when people contact us, I never ask people, how much money do you have? I want to see your W-2 form for your income taxes to see if you are worthy. We never ask people. We have compassion. We help anyone that comes. We never charge for praying for people. We never charge for deliverance. We spend hours on people. We never charge them. It's free. God gave to us free, and we give it back free. If you really are truly a disciple of Jesus, you will have compassion on people. Now back to Matthew chapter 8. A Roman centurion was an officer in charge of 80 soldiers and 20 servants. Orderlies would carry out minor tasks for the officer, while the servants were in charge of food and other supplies for the combat unit. Thus, a servant was a bottom rung in the unit. 100 people, 80 soldiers, 10 orderlies, and then 10 slaves, servants. They were actually were slaves. Let's read up from Matthew chapter 8. And when Jesus was entered the Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. This centurion said, I have a slave, a servant. He's home. He's sick. He's in pain. Now, this Roman officer, they didn't like the Jews. For him to go up to a Jew and say, hey, Jesus, he showed a lot of respect. He didn't say, hey, Jesus. He said, please. He humbled himself. And what did Jesus do? And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus had just healed one leper, 10 others, came into the city of Capernaum toward the evening to get some rest, to get a dinner. And this Roman soldier, officer comes up and says, I got a slave at home. And he said, fine, let's go and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Think about the faith here. This Roman soldier said, Jesus, you're a Jew. I'm so much higher than you, but I'm not worthy that you come to my home. He recognized him as God, as the Messiah. For I'm a man of authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Can you understand? Jesus is not standing here. Here's a centurion in front of him. His disciples around him. Big crowd. Jesus said, man, did you hear that? I never found such faith in Israel. And then he gave some prophetic words. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, yes, many of you that are part of Israel will never make it. Prophetic word. That's true. How many Jews have got saved in the last 2,000 years? A remnant. There's one group I like called Jews for Jesus. They are bold. They are Pentecostal. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they are not backing down. But there are so few of them. And Jesus sent the centurion. I want you now to catch these words now. He now looked at the centurion and said, all right, here it is. Go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. Centurion heard it. He must have said, yes, sir. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Fantastic miracle. Jesus can do anything he wants to. There's no limit what he can do. We limit him. Now I want you to see now in verses 14 and 15 that Jesus continued to heal. Can you imagine now in that city, Capernaum, the bus, Jesus is in town. Jesus healed 11 lepers. Jesus just healed the centurion's slave that had pain, bad shape. Folks, get anyone sick. Get them up. Let's find the house Jesus is at. Let's get them all over there. Let's do it when it's hot. And when Jesus would come into Peter's house, now, Peter was married, he had a wife, and his mother-in-law was laying down there in the bed, sick of fever. I want you to see Jesus now. He's coming in now, start walking in, see this bed over here, and he said, okay, what's going on here? Well, she's sick of fever. Really? Okay, too bad. I feel sorry for you. He didn't do that. He healed her right now. And he touched her hand. The fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. Jesus walks around looking at our situations. We need to pray. But, you know, if you have pain, Jesus already knows that. Jesus said, even the very hairs of your head are counted. He knows your blood pressure. He knows your heartbeat. He knows your blood count, red and white. There are angels constantly monitoring your body and your soul and your spirit. Jesus saw a need. He met the need. So he had a meal. So they had dinner. Now, look at this. You've been working all day long. You come home, you relax, you get a big meal, you sit down. And what do you want to do after you have eaten a good dinner and it's night? You want to relax. You're full. Oh, man. I just want to sit in that chair and just relax. Jesus, after he was eaten, suddenly he realized there's a crowd outside. When the evening was come, they brought to him many possessed with the devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Can you imagine the line? Let me tell you, I've been in meetings where I have been preaching, we pray for people afterwards. You got a line of 10 people, it's okay. But you got a line of 50 people, and you minister to each one of these, and you've been going at it for 2-3 hours, you get tired. Jesus never slowed down. That line just kept coming, and Jesus worked the line until the last person was healed or had the demons cast out. Then he finished. That's how he was when he was here. That's how he is today. And then we read this, that it might be fulfilled what is spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So Jesus kept healing. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 right now. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, we have been having problems in this ministry with sickness. And we've gone through a number of different things. Particularly, our wives have been hit. And Ina got partial healing. Joanne got some partial healing, but she's still in a rehab place. Now, Monica Terrell is defying the odds. Now, she lost a lot of weight. She's skinny. And about two months ago, we were preparing a funeral. She was in the hospital. They told us, this time very shortly. Well, this week, I just about fell over. I was looking out the window. And here I see Monica Terrell taking on wash for the cloth line. And she had a little walker, and she was flipping the walker like this, taking it down, flipped it over here, and just took down the wash. And I said, wow. She also got healed mentally. Because before, she did not know who she was. And she had lost her mental capacity. And she's sharp as a tack. God has restored her. And she's walking now. I saw her walking the next day. And she has the walker, and she kind of tosses it in front of her. And she walks on the gravel and walk around. And she's determined to press on. Why does it take that long? I don't know. Why can't we get healing right now? Sometimes we did, sometimes we don't. But I noticed one thing. I had to trust in Jesus. Regardless if my wife is sick or not, I preach. Regardless or not what happened around me, I'm going to believe that God is still on the throne. There's no change in heaven. I am not looking upon circumstances. Circumstances must have to change. I'm not looking upon how things are. I'm looking upon how things will be. The word of God is truth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For if we have not a high priest, we cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has experienced all the things that you and I are suffering. Every disease he suffered on the cross. He knew what leprosy was. He know what cancer is. He know what diabetes feels like. He know what being blind feels like. He know what depression feels like. He know what it means to be mentally sick. Jesus knows it. He's aware of it. And he has a solution. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I remember prayer meetings Tuesday night. Henry being there, Satyrus being there, Carol being there, Ina being there, Alexa there, sometimes not all at the same time. And I remember the prayers prayed for Monica. How they prayed earnestly, fervently, for God to do something. We prayed the same thing for Joanne. Thank you for Ina. Well, we got them some answers. But we're not where we want to be yet. We want her kidneys to be restored with Monica. She doesn't need dialysis anymore. We want to see her put weight back in her body. And I believe that God will hear us. If we have the faith and we start believing that with God all things are possible. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. When you come to God, don't come like a whipped dog. Come boldly and say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You are my high priest. I got a problem. I want to share that with you. I know you know it already, but I'm going to voice it again. And I need a healing. I need a job. Like you prayed here for Ian from Colorado on his job situation. I need something in my marriage. It's broken down. I need something in my child. Whatever the need is, bring it to the Lord. We are not a high priest. We cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmity. But was it all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We've seen today God is... Jesus flexing his muscles in his nation on a national scale. In Revelation chapter 1, we read from verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down in the foot, and girded up the path with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth put a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus got the keys. He got the power. He is the ruler. He is the master. Everything will have to bow to him. Satan, fallen angels, evil spirits, evil people. Eventually, everyone will have to bow. I'm thinking of Epstein at this moment. When his body died, an angel showed up and took it to hell. As a Jew, he must have been very surprised. and said, "What's this? I don't believe this." And this they were told, "Forget your money. Forget your power. You got nothing. You have now been arrested for eternity. You are now going to face the crimes that you've done." People, when they die, are going to be very surprised. Those that are saved are going to rejoice as they take a flight to heaven. And those that are going to take an elevator downstairs to hell are going to be very frightened, sad, and feeling bad. Jesus is the key. I want to close here by going to turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. If you pick it up here in verse number 21. "And Peter called and remembered unto him, 'Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away.' And Jesus answering said to him, unto them, 'Have faith in God.'" That's what Jesus is saying to you today. Have faith in God. I don't care what your problem is. Whatever you're facing, if it is a physical problem, a spiritual problem, a labor problem, financial problem, whatever it is, Jesus can fix it. Have faith in God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," and he's not talking about a mountain necessarily, now we look at a mountain or the hill. He talked about the mountain in your life. "But you're removed, you're cast into the sea, shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that though think what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." You got a mountain, a job situation, marriage situation, financial situation, a cancer mountain, a gambling mountain, whatever you have, remember this. Tell that mountain to jump into the sea. Have faith in God. Simply said, that mountain is going to go. "Therefore I said to you, what things ever you desire, would you pray? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." When you come to Jesus, you cannot come and say, "Okay, Jesus, this is what I like to have. I'm not sure I'm going to get it, but this is what I like to have." Jesus said, "Forget it. Either you believe or you don't." If I invite somebody to dinner in my house, and they come to the door, knock on the door and says, "Are you sure you invited me for dinner?" "No, I'm not sure." If you do it, you have to have faith. "Therefore I send to you what things you would desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." And then the qualifier. "And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." We cannot come in unforgiveness. We have to forgive. We have to release people. We cannot have anger in our hearts, in our souls. We cannot have bitterness, resentment, jealousy. You got to go in order for us to come and say, "I need this." Let's go back to Matthew 9 and I'll wrap that up. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'You son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus unto them." These two blind men now, they have harassed Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on us." They followed him into the house. And Jesus said, "Believe you that I am able to do this." He said, okay, man, do you believe I can do it? They said to him, yes, Lord, you can do it. Then touched his eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. There's your key, forgiveness and faith. I want the Holy Spirit tell me to share this with you. Try to do it very gently. Brother Henry has had a difficulty in his life some time back, and his wife decided to divorce him. They've been together a long time, and as he was pressing in, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, pressing in, she and her family said, you know, we want nothing to do with that. There was separation. About a month ago, he found out that his mother, who lived in Argentina, had been in witchcraft. And that she had put curses and spells on the family. We had a prayer meeting. And we took all of that. We broke that and destroyed that. And simply wiped it out. Now, Brother Henry said this, I believe something's going to happen to my family. Well, something has happened to the family. He had a birthday yesterday. And for the first time in many years, his wife came to celebrate his birthday with his two daughters. And she gave him a very beautiful card. She did not know what happened to her years ago. She got turned around by evil spirits. With the curse broken, the evil spirit gone, suddenly, she's coming back to what she used to be, loving her husband. Now, Henry spoke at a meeting, and he said this, I am claiming my family. Amen. And again, I want to read this verse here. According to faith, be unto you. I want to share that with you because it's a tangible thing that's happening right now with a man that everybody loves, Brother Henry. He loves Henry, they love Brother Soteris. And so you can relate to that. That's happening to them. And it's happening because he made a statement, the curse is broken. I'm going to reclaim my family. And the family is coming back. Amen. So this is what I want to close here with you. Today, as I'm talking to a number of people, you're facing different problems. Each one of us are different situations. But Jesus is the same. And all he needs from you is like he said to these other men. Let me read that. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him and Jesus unto them, believe you that I am able to do this. And Jesus is standing where you are right now and say, yes, I know what you need. Do you believe that I can do this? And if you say, yes, I believe Jesus, you can take care of it. Amen. He's going to say, no problem. According to your faith, be it unto you. You can have a breakout moment today in your life if you simply say, wow, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release. I'm going to get rid of this stuff. I'm going to begin to believe, and I'm going to begin to walk in faith. And you're going to take off like a rocket. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You've been listening to You're Not Saved. And you say, this sounds wonderful. I want that Jesus. You can have him. All you need to do is to say, my Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I have sinned greatly. I need to be forgiven. I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, rose on the third day. I believe he paid for the sins of my sins. Come on in, Jesus, save me. And if you do that, he will save you. In a few minutes, when we finish here, you will see your screen change after Brother Thomas has finished his prayer. The screen will change, three crosses will come up, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell, and he will lead you in some additional prayer on how to get saved and help you to get going. And this happened to you today, would you later on today write me, email me, call a ministry, and say, I got saved today. I want you to call me, talk to me. I want you to pray for me. And I will. I will contact you. To those of you that are walking with the Lord, and those that are doing good, some of you are doing good. You're already doing this. Keep on trucking. But to those of you that have a little problem, slow down today and say, after the service is over, I'm going to read the scriptures again. You know, we gave you the outline. You got all the scriptures. And I'm going to pray on that. And I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus to help me to get the faith I need to be victorious. May God bless you as you call on Jesus today. Praise the Lord. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the the lesson today. We thank you, Father, for the improvements that we've heard in the lives of the people that we are involved with here weekly and daily. We thank you, Father, for the miracles that are taking place. And I thank you that we're seeing some movement, excuse me, on a national level. And I do believe that there are many, 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 many Christians that are praying for exposure of the corrupted system here in the United States of America. I know that I have been weekly from this very point praying that the corruption will continue to be unraveled, and I'm going to pray that again in the FBI, the CIA, the Congress, the courts, the city councils, the county supervisors, the public employees, the public employee pension program, the IRS, and every alphabet agency that has been corrupted in the United States of America and around the world, that they will be, and the prison system, and the police unions, and the guards, and on and on and on it goes from every facet of civil government in the United States. There is nothing new under the sun. It's been going on for a long time. And we pray that it will be exposed and brought down and restored to righteousness. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However,
Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, If you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 13th part in the series, The Life of Jesus, and was entitled, Compassion for Humanity. Jesus had supernatural powers with which He used to further His earthly ministry. There is no doubt that Jesus enjoyed healing people and took great effort to heal as many lepers as possible, commanding the disciples to do the same. When a Roman centurion approached Jesus about healing his servant, Jesus granted the request and scolded the Jews for their unbelief.
when Jesus visited the house of Peter and found his mother-in-law sick in bed, he healed her at once. The people in Capernaum brought every sick and demon-possessed person to Jesus, and he ministered to every person until they were all healed and set free of demons. Lepers were healed, blind received sight, the lame walked, and those possessed with evil spirits were set free. This is the compassion Jesus showed some 2,000 years ago. The Son of God is now seated in heaven, interceding for his people on earth. How do you fit into the equation? Are you exhibiting the same compassion? Are you working with Jesus? This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1716. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to the sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.